All right, everybody. Glad you're so friendly today. I come here this morning with a message from God, a fearful message of God, a message that I'm really hesitant to preach. It's called patience. And so some of us are better at patience than others. Sometimes our patience that God wants us to have, which is why a fruit of the Spirit, by the way, come naturally. And sometimes they come supernaturally. So for me, I need a lot of more supernatural patience, I think, because it doesn't come to me naturally. And how many ever had relatives in your family where there was someone that was incredibly patient and you had some other people in your family that were completely impatient? Anybody ever had that happen? That makes for a very interesting family environment, right? And so we have both of those kinds in our family. And so you wonder, even sometimes I wonder if I inherit things down through the generations, you know, like patience, you know, and other qualities like that. But anyway, patience is such an important subject that it's actually in the very nature of God, according to Tertullian. Early church father, he wrote that in AD 200. Patience, he said, is the very nature of God. And we know it's a fruit of the Spirit, so that's another way to say it, but it's in the very nature of God. So that's an amazing thing, if you think about it. That's kind of one of his ways. We all know that he's loving, for example, but patient is another thing. And then when it comes down to we're supposed to be loving or patient, then that's where the rubber meets the road, right? So we learn a lot from God if we understand his patience with us and have a full understanding of that or get a revelation of it. And hopefully I could, by God's grace, bring some of this to us today. I'm learning more and more that patience is not my enemy. Patience is my friend. Sometimes I have to say it to myself over and over again at night. Patience is my friend. Patience is my friend, right? But actually, it's a treasure trove of great, great blessing. When you understand patience and you begin to apply it in your life and you begin to walk in it, you realize God doesn't disappear. He just works things in us for our betterment, for our good. I just believe that scripture more than anything. All things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. But I think sometimes patience is something that really helps us see that more clearly. And impatience has this way of making us deaf, dumb, and stupid. You know, it has this way of actually subverting the cause of God in our life. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to go any slower in the miracles I need in my life. And if impatience is one thing that messes me up, I want to make sure that I deal with that, right? So maybe this will talk to some of you today. Just some things I've been learning and things that are just clear out of the Word of God. So when Tertullian said patience is the very nature of God, sort of like if you want to worship God, you're going to learn about patience. You need to, if two of you want to walk together and if they be agreed, right, the scripture says, then you're going to have to learn how to walk with God with patience because he has patience. Turns out he's full of patience. As a matter of fact, I think we think he doesn't have that, that actually he's impatient with us when actually it's just the opposite. Patience, as a matter of fact, is used to describe himself. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, the Bible says, love is patient. Indeed, only the Lord produces makrothymia, that's the Greek word, true patience in us, and hence it's a fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:22. And you know all about those fruits of the Spirit, but one of them is one thing that comes from the Spirit, one thing that we learn from the Spirit is not only his voice to heal, his voice to encourage us, and his voice to prophesy through us and all that, but it's actually through the Holy Spirit, as we walk with the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of walking closely with the Holy Spirit is we become much more patient. That doesn't mean slow of heart. That doesn't mean we see less miracles. Actually, what it means is we see more of God's presence. We actually experience more supernatural anointing. We actually experience more of his voice, which makes it really kind of nice, isn't it? And then there's these qualities called the love of God. How many want to experience more of the love of God? Well, patience has worked right in there. Because patience actually is this wonderful thing God works in us for us to experience more, not less, of God. Because the Spirit produces patience, another word for patience is forbearance, we feel comforted and uplifted, similar to the other fruits of the Spirit, the way they make us feel, like love, joy, and peace. And we see that in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. I'll just read these verses. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then notice there, number four, forbearance. So that's part of the natural outgrowth of the Lord. It's a natural walk with God. You're going to have forbearance in your life. And when forbearance shows up, as you begin to develop that, it's your friend, not your enemy. Just like kindness is your friend, and joy is your friend, and peace is your friend, goodness is your friend, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, God really likes these things. You're going the right direction, brother. You're going the right direction, right? So this is really an important part of our life, and I'm finding more and more that patience is my friend. The patience and perseverance God gives us are supernatural. Supernatural. As if the love of God is carrying us along to inevitable victory. I like that word, inevitable victory. No matter what the problem or how long it takes, no matter how long it takes, you know, and a great salesman is that way. He never can quite get the word no in his mind, right? He just keeps persisting, keeps, hopefully not obnoxiously, but he finds another way to keep moving, right? But the Lord wants to carry us along with patience and perseverance. They're supernatural, and the love of God is right in the middle of those two concepts, this word patience or long-suffering or so on and so forth. It's part of our victory in Christ, no matter what the problem is or how long it takes. And we see this so much in everyday life, so we can just, all right, so like there's a bunch of surfers in here. So one of the first things you learn about surfing is it takes a little patience, right? And so the ones that enjoy the most are the ones that stay out the longest and actually watch for, look for. And guess what? Here's the interesting thing about surfing, although I know very little about it, but I do know this, that if you do it enough and you're patient enough, you actually, in the process, learn something. You learn what the waves look like. You learn, like, this is a good time to be out there, a bad time to be out there. You can just kind of feel it, right? But you learn that because of continually being out there. That's how you learn. Well, it's the same way with walking with the Lord, right? As we persevere through things, we learn things. And that's really important. I think that making patience and perseverance our friend is one of the best things you can do for yourself. Because you discover lots of wisdom, lots of things in God and God's ways. And it turns out that he's not as slow as you think. And sometimes he's not as fast as you think, right? Just like surfing, there's just that right moment, that right way. You recognize the signs, and you go with them. This doesn't make any sense to try to surf a wave that's not there, right? That's what you do when you first start. But there's a perseverance over time. You learn. Over time, you learn to see things that you didn't see before just simply by persevering out there, learning to walk with God, right? Learning to even work with the waves, right? Fishermen, it's the same thing. Fishermen are legendary. The best fishermen are the ones that have the most patience. My grandfather was probably the most patient man I ever learned. I didn't learn anything from him. I had a hard time. I'm on the other end, but he was the most patient man I ever met. Remarkable. I even could recognize his patience when I was 13 and he was letting me drive, you know. And we got caught by the policeman. My mother, who didn't have as much patience, didn't like that at all. My grandfather, he took all the abuse from my mother and my grandmother and then kind of laughed with me in the corner, and we had a great time talking about it, right? Patient man, right? And there were other things we did I'm not sure she even knows about. But my grandfather was an amazing thing. But the thing I liked about him was he was game for anything, man. And nothing seemed to rile him. Nothing seemed to trouble him. You know, I just... It was an amazing example. Then I had other members of my family that weren't that patient, right? And I kind of picked up that side of the family, unfortunately, in the genetic code, right? We know about patience with a craftsman. The best craftsmen, the best builders, they're patient. They see things, in it, you know. And I try to fix something, and if I don't get it done in the first 5 minutes, you know, I'm done, you know, or I'll or I do something that my dad used to say, which tells you where he was on the spectrum. Do something, son, even if it's wrong. I heard him tell me that I don't know how many times. which I'm not sure was always the best instruction. There was some wisdom there, but do something even if it's wrong. I still have visions of him. I love him so much. He was awesome. He was just on the other end of the spectrum. I remember we first moved in this house in Albuquerque, and it's way up in the mountains. And I don't know if anybody's ever had to deal with gnats, but there was like a plague of gnats everywhere. And anybody's ever painted in a plague of gnats will drive you out of your mind, right? And so if you're patient, I suppose you could do it. But if you're not, you find yourself, which I found my dad often doing, hitting himself with his hat over and over again when he could have had all the tick he could take of the gnats, right? So these fond memories, right? And it gives me a little room because I seem to inherit a lot of his genes in terms of emotionally, right? I'm just not exactly the most patient person, but I'm learning because I'm finding there's great treasure in it. There's great grace in it. And it's actually great treasure in walking with the Lord in that, right? So, which brings me really to Romans 5. I want to just read these verses. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. So faith gets us into this grace. We're saved, right? We're walking with God, in which we now stand. But the standing part means that you're standing in repeated faith. So you got in the door with faith, and then you navigate your entire life by faith. But to navigate things, my righteous one, the scripture says, will live by faith, takes a tremendous amount of patience. Yeah. A tremendous amount of patience. But it's worth it. So as you learn about God, you learn that this patience is actually your friend. Actually bears tremendous fruit, and actually, in the long run, saves you lots of time. So he says on, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. We glory in our sufferings. Now that one I haven't learned very well, but it's there. So these apostles who suffered a great deal for us, for the establishment of the church, the foundations of the church, they built the foundations of the church. And these ones that built the foundation of the church and our understanding about Jesus through their teaching, guess what they said? We know that suffering, we also glory in our sufferings. I mean, it seems like a kind of total opposite. I glory in my sufferings. I want to get rid of my suffering as fast as possible. But he learned to take advantage of his sufferings and to surf them to his advantage. In other words, he knew that God was over his life. All things were working. He's the one that wrote, all things work together for good, for them that love the Lord, call according to his purpose. He just knew that God sometimes has a longer timetable than we do in our sufferings. But then he says this, we know that suffering produces perseverance. Well, I don't really care very much about that word, frankly. But it comes in handy when you need it. And you often do need it because it's the only way to get through your trials. You either persevere or you give up, and giving up does not work very well. Right? Perseverance. So we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Okay, I got to admit it. I'm a little more humble. I learned some things through my pain. Matter of fact, I learned more through pain and perseverance than I do almost anything else. I got to admit that. It's true. And then he says, character, and I want good character, and so there's a humbling part, there's a learning part, and it's a pruning part, every bush, just thinking of my bushes, Janice. I somehow caught the pruning disease, and I'm cutting everything in sight. I don't know why. I have no idea why I caught that disease, but I'm even walking around the campus here telling the guys, hey, we got to prune some trees. I mean, I just don't know. I caught it. I don't know what happened. Why did I say all that? Well, anyway, because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. So we go to character, we go to hope, and then here's what happens. When hope begins to dawn, it doesn't put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So it turns out we start with patience and we end with love. That's a pretty good deal. And if you let God have his way with you, you actually make that transition faster, not slower. You get to the love part faster. There's steps there that we see, right? All the character, hope, you know, and so forth, you know. But perseverance, character, hope. But But this love, you can get too fast. You can get too fast because actually when you go through trial, you learn that God's a loving God and a good God has your best interests. And so then what you do is you learn to sort of find the affection in it. So, Lord, what's the affection here? Where is my hug here? Where can I find you in this place? And you know, it's a lot easier to find the Lord's love, which I treasure more than anything. Matter of fact, over time, you begin to appreciate God's love. And I'll just read this verse 5. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. So poured out is a big word, like a big rainstorm. It's been poured out. And so when the love of God pours into your heart, all the rest of this before is worth it, right? It's these things that we go through. But what I'm learning to do is go from the suffering to the love faster and faster instead of getting through all the pieces. Because I found out that God likes it that way. And I believe that when Jesus went to Gethsemane, he understood. He didn't have to go through lots of stations to get to the love. He found the love of the Father very quickly. And he did that through all his trials. So obviously in his life there was some perseverance and things, but he learned to get to this place called love, which is where patience lives as well. They're kind of at the same address. When you feel love in a situation, then you're patient, even if it's hard. Even if it's hard. And patience sometimes leads you to love, and sometimes love leads you to patience. It goes back and forth. But these are hugely viable, precious things in our walk with the Lord. They are so special that if trouble leads us to love, you know, through all these steps of perseverance, but when it leads us to love, first of all, we understand that we get to love faster. It helps us to persevere. And secondly, we learn, wow, what we thought was to our ill, which we thought was just horrible and a waste of time and everything, wasn't a waste of time at all. It was one of the most precious things that we carry in our life. Some of you have gone through trials, very difficult trials, and you came away in the end with the love of God. You came closer to God. So it's a treasure that you have and something to hold on to. Sometimes I think that trouble like that is for love. That is actually to get us to this place where we not only just sort of exist with this guy we kind of half trust called Jesus, but we begin to love him and begin to feel the full freedom of him and his world, and we begin to see all around in the world, and we begin to make changes like he did, and we begin to have faith that goes way beyond trying to work it up. When love proceeds, when faith comes out of love, I tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing what happens. It grows. You have plenty of faith. If you have plenty of love, you can step into things because you know your Heavenly Father. You know how much he likes you. You know how much he likes other people. Yes. And so, well, there you are, right? So look at Roman numeral 2. Godly patience brings success and breakthroughs. It keeps us from behavior that separates from God and steals his blessing and provision. It's very interesting. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, right? That's John 10:10. So godly patience brings success and breakthrough. It's interesting. So we want that abundant life, but actually our patience brings us more of this life. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So as we develop patience, we become patient in our walk with the Lord, we begin to see more success and breakthroughs. We actually waste far less time, and actually we get on the road toward breakthrough faster and more thoroughly. It keeps us from patience, especially in trouble, keeps us from behavior that separates from our God, and then I would just say this, steals his blessing and wastes our time. Wastes our time. So I don't want to waste any time. I want to be successful, right? And so patience keeps us from stuff that doesn't work very well and actually steals, because the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, but I came that might have life, have it abundantly. God's patience, it turns out, his patience with us results in the very salvation of our souls. So you can see how valuable this, how important this is. If God wasn't patient, there wouldn't be anybody here. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Man, I tell you what, that little passage there used to make me so sad. Are you kidding me? how do I relate to such a person, right? And such a God, right? But actually, the truth is, you have to see it from a whole different vantage point. Whether you see it through the lens of love, right? This 1,000 years is 1,000 years of love and care and concern and beauty, right? And God is so in love with his world that even 1,000 years, this world he loves so much, like a day, he so appreciates. We think of God as sort of winding up the clock and disappearing for a while, right? And then coming back and saving the day. But I think God enjoys his world. He enjoys his people. He enjoys his creation. The Lord's not slow in keeping his promise. That's what you would think from such a statement I just made, which is right here in the scripture, right? 1,000 years are like a day. So what we should understand from that is we have to understand that God's in a different place than we are. And the sooner we get his attitude and his way and think his way, the happier we're going to be. And I'll just say this. Happier, not only will we be happier, but we'll, in the sense of joy inside, but also in the sense of actually seeing answered prayer. Because fear, impatience, anger, all of these things, they just get in the way of the answers to prayer. So why? Who needs them? Let's just throw them away. Well, patience has this way of being a nice garbage can for all those nasty emotions that keep you away from God and keep you fretting and not hearing. Fretting is this thing that comes, this anxiety comes. It's the opposite of patience. And what happens is it clouds your mind so you can't hear God's kind voice. God's kind voice. So you sort of have to start with the premise that God has a kind voice, right? And so I don't want anything to get in the way of that. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Now, I could just read that 100 times, but I don't know about you, I don't know what to do with that statement sometimes, being the patient man that I am. But it says in the scripture, he's not slow. He's never slow. He's never late. He's never behind. Well, that'll rattle you a little bit. He's not slow. He's not slow. Never behind. Wow. In keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, you say, well, I don't need repentance. Well, that's true. You do, actually, somewhere in your life. We all get to those places where we need repentance, but it shouldn't be the dominant characteristic of what we're doing. But nevertheless, he doesn't want anyone to perish. So the ones that are around us, we don't live in a vacuum. The ones that we want to change, the ones that we want to do better, the ones that know the Lord, he doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anybody. He wants everyone to come to this place of repentance. So he's patient with them and with us. So it gives us great hope for those that you're praying for right now. If God wasn't patient, then you don't have a lot of hope for the ones that you're praying for that maybe you're sick or that maybe are away from God. Maybe they're not doing the right thing. Maybe they're off sinning somewhere. Aren't you glad that God was patient with you?
Amen.
And let you get through all the steps? You know, I'll tell you what, you don't want to just have first love. You want to understand the whole context of your life and how many times God put up with you, how many times God was kind to you, and how long it took for you to come to a place where you turned. Not just turn to Jesus completely, but turn toward Jesus and things that trouble you, things that are kind of off limits. Maybe you could say maybe you're sort of secretly mad to God, you know, you're mad about things that are angry about your life, right? He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to a place of repentance. It means a place of changing their mind, a place of goodness with God. Changing your mind about God is the best thing you can do because it opens the floodgates of heaven. Scripture says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So when we turn to God's way, turn to his way, we make that inside change, right? We're going to be walking together with the Lord and we're going to find amazing blessing, right? So God doesn't want anyone to perish. And even in your worst day, and I tell you what, so many of us here, I would say, venture to say 95% of us, have had very bad days. We've had very bad seasons. Sometimes we forget those nasty seasons of rebellion and anger and fear and loss, you know? But God wants everyone to come to a place of repentance, meaning to change your mind about all that and see your life from a different vantage point. If you define repentance as changing your mind and changing your actions, but changing your mind first, right? If you define that, then God wants everyone to come to a place where they change their mind. And when they change their mind, they begin to walk like God does. I think, honestly, sometimes we need patience just to walk like God does. We need repentance, and patience to walk like God does. We need to repent of the way we think of God. Because when we get in an impatient place, one of the worst things is we start blaming people. Oh, yeah, we're getting along the Lord too long. You know, we've been along for a while. We're just angry. We're not really blaming God about anything, you know. Like, when you get angry about something and really upset, well, like, who are you angry at? Well, I'm just angry at the situation. No, you're probably angry at God because you know good and well he snaps his fingers and it's different. So then what's going on, right? So this patience thing is a very helpful thing because I think it's this wonderful relational way to learn God in his depth. Learn to have faith, but also learn to appreciate and love God and then to receive his love. So to receive his love, to be a great receptor of God's love. If God's love is dormant, it's just a thing you talk about. Jesus loves me though, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's one thing. But if love is a deep experience with you, then patience is going to be one of your best friends. Because patience finds the love in everything. Patience has this way of finding the love. You might not understand it in the beginning, but you find the love. Because when you're looking for love in all your circumstances, you will find him there. He didn't desert you. You'll find him there. And I'm looking at some of you. I'm looking, and sometimes I stand up here, and I'm a little overwhelmed because, like, as the senior leader in the church, I know a whole bunch of stuff, you know. So I'm looking at everybody, and I know what everybody's going through, right? Which is kind of funny up here, right? It can be very discouraging, actually. Especially if it's serious. Believe me, if it's serious in your life, I generally know. There's this little grapevine that comes in the church. There's this way, little birdies that fly around and tell me stuff, right? So I'm praying and interceding for you, and sometimes it's a little overwhelming. But anyway, patience helps me even there, right? It helps me so much. Because then I go, okay, God, I'm just going to pray about this, and I'm going to lift it up. It's very bad. But if I don't have patience and let God settle your issues, you know, and let God deal with you and rest in that, I would go crazy. I would absolutely go crazy. So I have to say, Lord, I don't understand why you're not taking care of that marriage. I don't understand why you're not taking care of that sickness. I don't understand why you're not doing this, right? But patience helps me a lot. No, Lord, I've seen you do that before. I've prayed about this matter. I prayed with them about this matter. And I know how good you are. You're going to take care of this. You're going to take care of this. Otherwise, people like me would go absolutely mad. We'd go crazy. We'd be freaking out all the time, right? Patience is such a help to us. It's this confidence with God. It's this confidence. It's in his very nature. And so there's peace in it. And with it, faith and genuine empathy, but genuine faith. There's going to be a new day, a new time for our person or for us, right? I want to just read from Romans 2:1-4. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself. So this judging behavior is a real problem with regard to patience, right? Because you who pass judgment do the same things. So it's so important that we learn to hold the judgment thing because it's bad for you and it's bad for them and it really doesn't help the situation. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? In other words, his kindness leads you to the place where you need to go. His kindness leads you to that place you need to go. When you are patient, when you have patience and work in your life, you go there faster, not slower, for you, and then we see in other people's lives as well. So God's kindness, isn't that amazing, leads you to repent. So even when you're not in a good place, his kindness is there to help you get back on track. Amen. His kindness leads you there. It's funny. His anger doesn't lead you there. His bitterness doesn't leave you there. His lack of control doesn't get you there. Doesn't his anger, his righteous indignation, no, his kindness is intended to lead you to change your mind. And the main thing you need to change your mind about is how God is patient toward you, and he's patient toward others, and he loves everybody, and he works with everybody, and everybody's on their own schedule, right? So if you look at 2B on your outline, godly patience brings supernatural strength and provision. And so there's a couple of passages that make this whole patience thing very, very worthwhile. Anybody feel tired all the time? Half the congregation. Maybe two-thirds of the congregation. Right? But look at this. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. My guess in this room, probably a third of you said that today. You didn't say, if you know the Lord for all, you're too cool to say it out loud. But in the inside, can't let that weed take root in you. Because when that weed of discomfort, why you're saying on the ins person, you're trying to cover it as best you can. But on the inside, you're disappointed. You're discouraged. You're really trying to put a good face on it, but on the inside, right? Why do you say, Israel, so God's asking them, why are you saying my way is hidden? They don't know about that thing you're going through. My cause is disregarded by my God. I like that phrase. All of us have causes. All of us have things that we need God to take care of or want him to take care of. And he's asking, why do you complain? Why do you say my cause is disregarded by my God? Now, the interesting thing about this is, just as we read these verses, do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So you just can't let your hope die. Amen. And that's part on you. And part of it, even when you've died, God will come and rescue sometimes and give you a whole bunch of hope. Sometimes through another person, sometimes through a television program, sometimes through a note someone passes to you, sometimes through a letter. It's amazing, God's delivery systems, right? But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When you feel hopeless, you don't got any strength. Whoever renew your strength. I just declare over this whole congregation today, those that have lost some hope, I just breathe on you. May the Lord renew your strength. May the Lord renew you today. They will soar on wings like eagles. Man, that sounds a long way from where I'm at, right? Where the scripture is at. But this is the promise. We just have to be patient enough to let the draft hit our wings. Birds and eagles are some of the most patient people in the whole world. They're not people. They're birds. But they're like us, people. And I just watch them around my house, how they just gain, they take those winds and they float in those winds and they move them and use them to their advantage over and over again. That's like hope is, like waiting on the Lord, like patience is. They'll renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. What a great verse. Now, fear is the opposite of patience and love, and it robs us of God's wisdom, provision, and leading, especially in difficult circumstances. So we have to be careful of this one. And one of the best scriptures that I've seen in the Bible about this, one of the best stories that means so much to me, is some things that God, Isaiah the prophet, was addressing directly to the nation of Israel because they wanted to flee from their enemy, and they weren't connected to God at all. They were just running. Look what it says. And so God calls them. I know this enemy is threatening them. So they're threatening, here's my way out of this. I'm going to go to Egypt because it's safer there, which is sort of logical. But it offended God because he's their protector. That land was important to him. That's why we call it the promised land today. It was important. That was part of their heritage. It's part of this gift to them. They were giving up on their inheritance, right? And so, woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. So they thought, you know, I'm just going to find some help from somewhere else. God doesn't seem to be doing this. This is actually one of the biggest mistakes I've seen people make. You that counsel people, one of the biggest things we see people make is they get in so much pain, they start making alliances with the wrong person or the wrong relationship or in the wrong way. You know why they do it? They do it to reduce the pain, and they've lost their patience with the Lord. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry. So they have this magnificent plan. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to run away before they get here and go let Egypt take care of us for a while. Who go down to Egypt without consulting me. Didn't ask, just said, we're all going to run. Who look for help to Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Egypt's shade will be your disgrace. So he's telling them, that's not what I want you to do. Now they've got this army threatening them. You know, so this is a big deal. Patience will get you through storms in the right way. Not only get you through storms, but patience will lead you to the right stance you're supposed to take in a problem. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? Godly patience will get you to show you the wisdom of how you're supposed to walk this one out. Right? And so their plan wasn't pleasing to the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord, and so this, when I read this, it just feels like us so much. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Repentance means change your mind, change your heart, change your attitude, change your actions. Look, you've been walking away from me, and you can't get my sustenance and encourage because you're so far away from me. You didn't get the good stuff. All you're getting is the negativity. You don't have my provision, my faith, my trust, because you've walked away. Well, why don't you change your mind, start walking with me again, because I'll give you rest. Amen. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. And I go through this all the time in my life and with other people. No, we will flee on horses. This is one of the most famous lines I've heard in all my years of pastoring. No, I'm going to run away. I'm moving to Georgia. I'm going away. I'm going to live with my mother-in-law. I hate my mother-in-law, but I'm going to flee. So I'm so afraid. Therefore, you will flee. See, the attitude's wrong. I'm not saying that we don't go places that are safer and places of refuge. I'm just saying the attitude is the key thing. When there's the spirit of fear on it, you lose something serious with the Lord. So it robs us of just wisdom that maybe even other people can see. The opposite of patience is love, and it robs is patience. For fear is the opposite of patience and love, and it robs us of wisdom. I see this so much, and I can see it in my own life too. I gotta admit, you know, but I lie to myself first of all about the fear. You know, I get this. Nah, you're not afraid. And sometimes the Lord has to sit me down. You know, Mike, what are you such a fraidy cat about? You're just terrified. That's what's going on here. Okay. Therefore, so. Stop fleeing on your horse. Get off of that one. I'll give you a new one. Therefore, you will flee. You will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. The problem is you're going to get on these horses, and the ones that are pursuing you are going to be even faster than you. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one, at the threat of five. You all flee away till you're left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. There's that word patience again. Yes. Blessed are those who wait for him. People of Zion, you live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. In other words, they've gotten really bad to the place where they don't pray anymore. It's when you know you're in really big trouble when you just stop praying. Stopped appealing, stopped asking. That's a danger sign. When you stop praying about a situation, especially one that's lasted a long time, that's when you're in real trouble, right? You fled. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is God's promise to us. This is God's promise to us. This is where he wants to take us. And patience will take us there. You'll hear that voice behind you. Walk in it. If you need to hear God's voice, you need to hear this very phrase, this is the way, walk in it. You have a situation and you don't know what to do. You need this voice to say, this is the way, walk in it. Stand up right where you are right now. Lord, for everyone that needs to hear your voice about a specific decision, I'm going to ask you that you would give them the patience to hear this word. This is the way. Walk in it. Very specifically, I pray on this Sunday morning, you would hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Yes. Now, you guys look like you're praying. You all look like you're full of faith. But when the answer comes back and you don't like it, make sure that you keep praying this prayer, right? This is the way you walk in it. It may not even look like wisdom in the beginning, but if you get God's leading on it, you can trust Him. Blessed are all those who wait for Him. Lord, these that are praying these prayers this very day, this very moment, Lord, I pray, God, that You give them the courage to wait for You and to hear clearly what they're supposed to do about the situation. Patience will give You that. I pray for the patience, the forbearance of the Lord to stand in place until they hear exactly what they're supposed to do or have some faith to address their issues. In Jesus' name, amen. Your ear will hear a voice behind you say, this is the way, walk in it. So I declare that over everyone that stood today and over all of us. I pray as you persevere, you wait, or maybe it doesn't take that long at all. You'll hear it right away. But I pray everyone, especially the ones that stood today, would hear a voice that says, this is the way. Do this right now. Yes. Do this. Walk in this way. Yes. Now, it's an interesting thing about the walking in it part. Because walking in it means that you don't walk around it. You don't ignore it. You may have to walk straight through it in faith. Right? God's choice for you may be to walk through this in faith, straight through it. Answer's not around it. Answer not disappear. Maybe that might be the answer. Maybe leave. I don't know. But many times the voice is, this is what you should do. What you need is, how do I handle this situation? How do I handle this situation? Even when it doesn't come down, even the information that comes to us isn't our favorite recipe, right? James 1:1-8. James, a servant of God and of Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, this guy has learned patience, right? And I would love to be in this place. I get there sometimes, but it's just audacious, this whole thing. And it's coming right out of this patience that he learned. Consider it pure joy. I mean, he doesn't even say joy. He didn't say kind of good. He says pure joy. Wow. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And many kinds. That's a lot of them. A lot of different kinds. Yours isn't the exception, right? Because you know that the test of your faith produces perseverance. Here we are again, patience. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lack anything. So when you go through this, you're going to come away with more, not less. You're going to come away with more, not less. And then if he lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and he'll be given to you. Now you just got to ask fully. When you get down and beat up by your problems enough, it's really a good place to be, because then you're willing to hear, okay, God, what do you want me to do? This I tried, this isn't working. What do you want me to do? I'll do it, right? But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, since a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So, Lord, I'm asking for all of us to be stable, to stabilize us. Patience and the love of God, the understanding that God's a good God. Lord, this patience, I pray God would help us to stand so that we are not double-minded. That we will do what you want us to do. We will receive your provision. We'll walk in the way you want us to walk. And we're not going to waver, Lord. Because ultimately we know we're going to end up in a really good place. Because we declare you're working all things together for our good. We're called according to your purpose. Or we want to be called according to your purpose. So as I persevere in this thing, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep pursuing. And I'm going to do as best I can what you say you want me to do. And I'll walk in it. Amen. So I'm preaching to myself. Every word that I'm saying to you today, believe me, I am preaching to myself today. Matter of fact, most preachers actually preach out of whatever they're going through. So if they're up here railing and talking to you, they're probably talking to themselves just as much, right? All right. So we learn to watch and respond to positive changes as we pursue God. Now that we've done that, now watch for positive changes. And it's important because as you look for positive changes, first of all, it encourages you to be more patient, but also it encourages you that the answer is near. This is really powerful. So let's read Psalm 37:1-11. Do not fret because of those who are evil or the envious of the or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass without Jesus, they will wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell on the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Ooh, I like that one. So let's just start delighting in the Lord, and this other desire, He'll begin to take care of one after the other. Submit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. I declare righteous reward. I declare vindication shining over this congregation like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when the wicked carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath, do not fret. It only leads to evil. Lord, help us with fretting. It only leads to more evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. What an incredible passage this is. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek, that's the humble, will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. In other words, we're not rebelling. We're not, you know, angry at God, telling Him what to do. Angry at our circumstance, telling everybody else what to do. So I want to read a couple more verses. This is out of Psalm 37. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. I declare today, all of us as believers, we are going to spend our days from beginning to end till the day we die under the Lord's care. I declare myself under God's management. I'm under new management today. Management that wasn't so good before, but now it's great because I'm turning to You. In times of disaster, we will not wither. In days of famine, we will enjoy plenty. And that could be lots of famine, different ways. Problems that don't seem to go away, issues in your family, financial issues, sickness issues. Verses 25 to 26. I was young, and now I am old. Janice, am I in this category now? Depends on how old you are. Anyway, I was young, and now I'm old. I can get that one out very well. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Boy, that's a little nugget right there. Be generous with your life. Be generous with your time, your money. Their children will be even blessing if that happens. If you're generous, even your children will be a blessing. Man, these promises. Lord, help us to believe Your promises, because if we believe these promises, we're going to do very, very well, right? And also, be at peace. Now, last thing on your outline. Patience is the key to our ministry to each other and the world. Key to our ministry to each other and the world. There's a church history book called The Patient Ferment of the Early Church by Alan Kreider. And it's about the witness of the early church. In it, he says the central witness of the early church was their patience. That was their sin. That's what the world noticed. How many know we live in an impatient world? I think the world has gotten more and more impatient. The more we push buttons, the more things we have to help us save time, the more impatient we are. I mean, people, it's amazing. I find myself getting caught up in this as well, right? But where we want to go, is we want to go the other way, right? But the early church, the patience was what made people notice them. They weren't reacting the same way. They were responding to the outside stimulus, the pain and the sorrow of their days in the same way. And people noticed, they smelled it, they could see it. Many have turned the ways of violence and tyranny overcome by observing the consistent lives of the Christian neighbors or noting the strange patience of their injured acquaintances or experiencing the way they did business with them. This is, again, the quote. Many have turned from the ways of violence and tyranny overcome by observing the consistent lives of the Christian neighbors or noting the strange patience of their injured acquaintances or experiencing the way they did business with them. Oh, my goodness. That last line, experiencing the way they did business with them. You know, even as Christians, I find people saying things. Well, you know, it's a cutthroat world, you know. And using the phrase, it's just business. Meaning I can do whatever I want with you, you know. It's impersonal. This is just business. It's never just business. And if you think so, fine. But the most important thing is God doesn't think so. So if you run your business like that, it's not going to go good with you. It's going to take patience not to run your business that way, because there's a lot of knuckleheads out there that want to ruin your patience and steal from you and all the rest of it, right? So it's interesting. We're experiencing the way they did business with him. Very interesting. I want to just close with two images illustrating the character of God. And I'm going to take this out of Matthew 5, 43 to 45, because it's mentioned there. They're mentioned in the context of that. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wow. That you may be children of your Father. He causes his sun, listen to this, to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So we say the sun, it's an image of unhurried faithfulness. Rain, an image of indiscriminate generosity. God comes just to everybody, no matter how righteous. He gives the rain to everyone. And the sun always rises, right, in the natural. So for us, it's so important that we see these words, right? That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So he not only loves you, but he loves your enemies. Amen. And he dispenses on time provision for both. Yes. And so if he does that for everybody, then why wouldn't you, especially as a believer? We have an inside track. We have this thing called prayer, access to God, and this thing called faith to manipulate our environment. So we're way ahead of even the average person in the world, right? But the rising sun, the falling rain, indiscriminate generosity, and unhurried faithfulness. The sun always rises, and the rain comes in its season. And that's the way he'll be with you. Patience helps us to cope with difficult things, but also is one of our greatest allies in walking in peace and in the prosperity of the Lord. Amen? Let's all stand. So if I have the worship team come, because I think it would be really, really nice to meditate on a few of these things. But we're so crazy, including me, that you've heard people say to you, well, the last thing I want to do is pray for patience. Ever heard a person say that?
Yeah.
So I don't want to come out in the front and pray for patience. Does that mean I'm going to have to get through something hard? And I don't want anything hard, right? By the way, could I just tell you something? You're already in something hard. It's called L-I-F-E.
Yeah.
Right? You're already here. How about this one? A man's born for trouble as sparks fly upward. Right? That's a scripture. So that's what we got issues, right? Things around us in a fallen world. But our world's different. Our world's different. I just feel like, as a result of what I'm saying today, that if you take a moment, be patient with the Lord, and just even, I'd encourage you to do this. Just get out of your seat and pray for something that's eating your lunch right now. What is it? Is it a financial matter? And maybe you just don't come up if you're doing great, although, you know, there'll always be something around the corner, right? But some of you, I use the word eating your lunch. That means like, it's not good. And you need God to deliver you now, right? So if you have that sort of heart, that sort of thing going on with you, why don't you take 2 or 3 minutes, come up to the front, and tell God about it. And you know what? This one that wants you to be patient actually is incredibly patient with you. And if you didn't catch it, beyond the word patience is this love that God has. The ones that we remember the best that love us from our childhood or from our life, they're the ones that were the most patient for us. Isn't that right? So do you think God says all these things because he's impatient, doesn't want you to do good? No. He's listened to every single word that you're saying right now. And I just encourage you, if you have something that, a mountain that's not moving in your life, something that's made you very off balance, and you just need God to intervene, just come and spend a moment with him. Just as we're doing worship. It's a great time. You can stay for your seat if you want. Just say, Lord, here I am. Maybe some come along with you and next to you and pray with you, or maybe give you a word, maybe not. But as he's doing the worship, just lift up from your heart just something. Something that is of concern to you. Something that you're having to have patience about. It. May the Lord not only give you patience, but intervene today and give you answers. Right? Let the sun rise. Lord, let the sun rise. And the rain come over the desolate land. You who are so patient with us, we know about you. We know how kind you are, how you listen to everything we have to say, just like a little kid is listened to by his mother. You listen to everything we have to say. Nothing's too small today. Nothing is too big. So as we worship and pray today, I pray, God, you would meet us here supernaturally. And as we say things to you that we have not been patient about, as we say things to you that we need, I pray you deliver us. I pray you hear from heaven right now. You deliver us of bad attitudes and patient spirit, but you deliver us also from the very things that threaten us. The goodness that we need, the provision we need, the money we need, relationships we need. Remember us today. Remember us today. And I release patience, the very nature of God, the very love of God in this place. Lord, put us back in the saddle. Help us to wait. Waiting is lovely because it releases confidence and it heals our soul so we're not broken up and angry and fearful. As we just stand here and pray, up here in the front or in the chairs, Lord, as we just sing here, I just pray, God, you just let prayers go to the throne room of heaven and cause great grace on us today. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com and we'll see you next time.